Reading from Deuteronomy 26, verses 16 through 19. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways, and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules, and will obey his voice. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he has promised you, and that you are to keep all his commandments, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he has promised.
Amen. That is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. I appreciate that, Micah. Thank you for reading the word. If you have your Bibles, if you will go ahead and turn to that passage, Deuteronomy chapter 26. And while you're turning there, have you ever made a commitment and immediately wished you had not? Right? Like right away, you're like, what did I get myself into? And there's a Friends episode where Chandler has signed up for this gym membership, and he immediately regrets it. And so he goes to try to cancel his membership, and so they bring out the dreamy lady all dressed up in her workout gear, and she's like, you don't want to cancel your membership, and he's like, I guess I don't, and so he goes back and he tells his friends that, and Ross, his friend, is so angry that he wasn't able to get out of this commitment that he made, that he went down to try to help Chandler cancel his gym membership, only to bring out the same girl and then Ross to walk out signed up to the gym for the gym membership as well. They get home and they immediately regret that they didn't cancel their memberships, and so they decide, well, the only way we're going to get out of this is if we go and we cancel our bank membership where they can't draft every month. And they make this commitment and then immediately regret it. And thinking about this and thinking about commitment, I was speaking to a woman a couple weeks ago, and she made the comment. She said something to the effect of, I don't know God the way you know God. And she said, I don't know God the way so many in this church seem to know God. And I don't know if you feel like that. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I know that the answer to knowing God the way I know him and the way so many know him, the answer lies in this text. And it's a beautiful text. It's a text that speaks of commitment. And before we dive into it, could I just ask, could it be that what is missing from your walk with the Lord is commitment? What's missing from your walk with the Lord's commitment? Because we cannot fully know what we're getting what we get ourselves into when we give our life to the Lord. We can't fully know where he's going to take us. We can't fully know everything there is to know about Christ. I had somebody tell me that once. They said, you know what, whenever I know more, then I'll give my life to the Lord. When I know more Scripture. Listen, we can't fully know what it is that we're getting ourselves into when we commit to our life to the Lord. But here's what we must do. Right out of the gate, when we give our life to the Lord, we must commit to wherever he leads, I'll go. And today in this passage of Scripture, we're going to see what happens when we move into commitment with God. You guys with me this morning? Okay, if you're with me, we just have 2 points, but they both revolve around commitment. Point number one, I want to look at our commitment to God. I want to look at our commitment to God, and so if you have this, if you look at verse 16, it says, this day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You know what? I remember 14 and a half years ago now, standing before my church, before my family, before my friends, and pledging my commitment to my wife, right? And now I didn't go into being like, you know what, I love you a little, but maybe one day I will more. You know, I'm kind of committed. I enjoy you a little bit, but maybe, you know, I'm just hoping that one day I'll do that more. She would have left me at the altar and got as far away from me as possible, but I went into that with my whole heart and my whole soul, pledging to marry this woman. Okay, like understand that what God expects in our commitment to Him is that we do it with all of our heart and with all our soul. Now look at verse 17. It says, "You've declared today that the Lord is your God and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statute and His commandments and His rules, and you will obey His voice." Now, when we're talking about our commitment to the Lord, I think it's really important that we specify what that means. Because I think we've watered down what it means to be committed to the Lord is to say a prayer and ask Him into our heart and maybe read our Bible every now and then, maybe show up to church. But what we think commitment to the Lord is that I'm going to ask Him into my heart so that one day I can go to heaven. And we've come up with these little acronyms. I think that's the word. Is that what it is? Like the ABCs? Is that an acronym? Thank you, teacher friends. I majored in math, not English, or whatever that would fall, whatever category that'd fall under. So we come up with these little things like the ABCs that we use in Bible school. Listen, that I think it's great. I think it's a great illustration to be able to explain what happens when we commit our life to the Lord. And so we have the ABCs. And so from Bible school, we know that A means admit, right? We admit that we're a sinner that's fallen short of the glory of God. We admit that we need Him in our lives. And so B is believe. We believe that Jesus loved us so much that He died on the cross for our sins. And our only way to be forgiven, our only way to be saved is to believe in Christ, believe in the finished work of the cross, what He's done for us. We've got A down, admit. We've got B down, believe. But when we get to C, there's confusion. And here's what I mean by that. Some will say, well, that means confess. You confess you're a sinner. And others will say, well, yeah, let me confess that Jesus is your Lord. And still others will say, well, no, C means commit. You commit your life to the Lord. And I only say that to say we get to the commitment part of things and there's some confusion on what that even means. Listen, when we're talking about commitment, when we're talking about committing our life to the Lord, we've got to start and we've got to end with what the Word of God says commitment is. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus calls His first disciples, right? He calls Peter and He says, you come follow Me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Remember reading that? So the calling is a call not to just be a disciple, not just to learn the word of the Lord, but it's called to be involved in His mission. That's why we have adopted our mission statement that we exist to connect people to Jesus, His truth, His family, and His mission. Because we have to realize that a commitment to the Lord is a commitment to being for what He's about. And so from the start, right out of the gate, it's a calling to fish for men, to make other disciples. And then in Matthew chapter 28, right when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, He gives them His final speech, right? The final speech before He ascends into heaven. And He says to what? Go and make disciples. So the calling at the beginning and the calling at the end is linked to the advancement of the gospel. Let me ask, is that what you've committed to? When was the last time you shared the gospel in its entirety with anyone? The call to a commitment to the Lord starts and ends with evangelism and our commitment to being a part of it. That's why He says, The Great Commission, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that's commanded. So there's the discipleship aspect of things that you and I, once we've given our life to the Lord, once we've committed our life to the Lord, I don't know what all that entails, but I'm committing to finding out and then being obedient to it. Teaching everything that He's commanded. And so what we have is, we have evangelism without discipleship, that's to teach everything to obey everything's commanded. Evangelism without discipleship isn't really evangelism. And discipleship without evangelism is not really discipleship. Because they're connected together, us involving our hearts in the mission of the Lord. Commitment to the Lord means that we take His word and we take what He's for and we take what He's about and we walk in those things. Let me share with you Acts chapter 2. You have a group of people, Acts chapter 2, who are new Christians, didn't have a clue what to do. They didn't even have Lifeway to be able to supply curriculum. How in the world are they going to figure out how to obey the Lord? Well, look what it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they, these new Christians, if you look up in verse 41, there's 3,000 new souls, new Christians. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of the bread, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. You see, a commitment to the Lord, a commitment to His Word, and seeing people come to know Christ are connected. You cannot be committed to the Lord and not see people saved in your life, right? As a result of you walking in the Lord, those things cannot be divorced. So a commitment to the Lord is a commitment to understanding what it is that He's called us to do, what it is that He's called us to be about, and then running hard in that direction. Here in the text that we're given, verse 16 starts out by saying, this day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. What statutes and rules? Well, the whole chapter 26 leading up to this, you know what he's talking about? He spends 15 verses talking about the tithe. Right? The offering, the 10% that we are to give to the Lord. And I want you to know that if things track the way they've been tracking all year, church, you will give $1 million undesignated dollars in your tithes this year to our Lord. The church has not ever done that. Okay? Like you're going to be faithful to the Lord. If you continue your trend, you're going to exceed that, okay? But the last 3 weeks, we hadn't even met budget. And by the way, the last 3 weeks is when I announced I'm leaving. If you're not giving your money because there's a pastor that's going to be absent from the pulpit, can I just tell you, you're not being faithful to the calling of the Lord, okay? You don't give because so-and-so's the pastor. You don't withhold because so-and-so's not the pastor or because so-and-so's the pastor. You give to be faithful to the Lord because you committed your life. You committed your life to Him. You know, the tithe is a funny thing. I always hear people argue, well, that's an Old Testament thing. You know, I've always heard people argue the reason we should give less. I've never heard anyone argue why we should give more to our Lord. The context of what Moses is writing in this passage in Deuteronomy about being faithful to God, about being faithful to His statutes, His rules, His commands, obeying Him, it's in the context here of the tithe, which is the area that often seems to hurt us the most in our faithfulness to our God, our commitment to our God. Verse 17 ends, it talks about His statutes, it says His commandments, His rules, and look at that last line of verse 17. Verse 17, it says, and will obey His voice. That's what someone who's committed to the Lord does. Now, we know the primary way that God speaks is through His Word. Okay? Now don't miss that, because I think sometimes we say, God said this to me or God said that to me. Listen, I understand that He can stir in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, but listen, it's always connected to His Word. We've got to be careful saying God said this, because the primary way that He speaks to us today is through His Word. Now let me give you the implications of that. The implications are, if He speaks through His Word and we're to obey His voice, you've got to be in His Word if you want to hear Him speak. And two, you've got to be willing to do what His Word says to do. Can I tell you that the reason I believe with all my heart that Skytook's best years are in front of them. Listen, It has nothing to do with this, with your pastor and director staff, even though they're incredible, and I'd put them up against anyone in the state. Can I tell you why I'm confident that the Lord is not through with Skytook, is going to do great things? Because there is a church here that is affirmed right out of the gate with our belief system that we believe that the Word of God is true, authoritative, and sufficient for all things. That the number one thing in our church covenant is that we will affirm Scripture as a final arbiter in all issues. In other words, it decides everything that we do. Because this church is committed corporately to living, to obeying, to hearing God's Word preached, there's a fine season in the future for Skytook. Let me ask you, are you committed to God? Are you committed to Him? And if you say you are, then you need to be able to say that you're committed to His Word, because here's what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we start out this morning by talking about our commitment to God. And it has to run through the Word. We believe what we believe because God says it. And that's what we walk in. Second thing I want to point out here. Number one, I pointed out our commitment to God. Number two, I want to point out God's commitment to us, which might take you by surprise. We talk a lot about our commitment to the Lord, but I want to point out God's commitment to us. Look with me in verse 18. It says, and the Lord has declared today that you're a people for His treasured possession, as He promised you, and that you are to keep all His commandments, that He will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all the nations that He's made, and that you shall be a holy people to the Lord your God, as He promised. Now we know that in part God is speaking this, and primarily for the audience, He is speaking this to the nation of Israel, that He's going to bless them. But I want you to know that at salvation, we are brought into the family of God. In fact, Romans is going to talk about this, about how the Gentiles, how we are grafted into the body, how we become Israel. We become God's chosen people at the covenant of salvation that we enter into with the Lord. And at that moment, God's commitment to us is to bless us. Did you see that in verse 19? That He'll set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all the nations that He's made. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 is going to echo this for all believers. Look what it's going to say. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. You see, God in His commitment to us has promised to bless us. And one of the ways He blesses us is by giving us a platform to speak of His glory, to speak of His grace. It said that in verse 19. He will set you up in praise and in fame and honor high above all the nations that He's made. when I was 14, having gone to a church my whole life that ran between 60 and 80, my whole life, if you'd have said that I'd ever pastor a church like Sky took, I wouldn't have believed you. If you'd have ever said that I'd be working on my doctorate this week in ministry at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, I never would have believed you. If you'd have said I had the opportunity to speak at Falls Creek, I never would have believed you. I would have thought you are loony. But can I tell you that the plans that God has for His people far exceed anything that we could ever hope and dream for ourselves. When He speaks here of setting us up in praise and fame and high above the other nations, listen, that's not the American dream. But He is speaking of an amazing Father who chooses to bless His children because He's committed to us. It says in verse 19, He'll set you up high in praise and in fame and honor, high above all the nations that He's made, that you'll be a people holy to the Lord your God, as He promised. You know what that means, that we are a people holy to the Lord? It means that we are set apart. That this plan that He has for us individually as Christians and corporately as a body, He has planned to bless us, to set us apart, that when we walk committed to Him and He committed to us, He'll do abundantly more than we could ever think or ask. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We see in this text that we are to be committed to God. We see our commitment to God, but we also see His commitment to us. And by the way, the great thing about the Lord's commitment to us is He's really good at keeping His end of the bargain. This text mentions how God would bless His people. And He reminds them, He said, hey, I promised you that a long time ago. And if you were to find out what He's talking about, He's like, what did you promise? You'd have to go way back to Genesis chapter 11 where God calls Abraham. But you get to Genesis chapter 15 and God tells Abraham, He says, go out and start counting the stars. And I can just imagine Abraham being 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 98. Did I already say 98? And then go, starting all. He can't do it. And I can just imagine God chuckling, saying, so is going to be with your descendants one day. That's the promise I'm making you. That I'm calling you out. I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and all nations on the face of the earth will be blessed through you. And in Genesis chapter 15, God puts His stamp on that contract, that covenant that He makes with Abraham. And here's what He does. He says, Abraham, I want you to bring me a heifer, I want you to bring me a goat, a ram, a dove, and a pigeon. Okay, and I can just imagine Abraham being, all right, what's this about? We're about to have a barbecue? And so Abraham brings these things. And in that culture, if I made a promise to you and I said, I'm going to do this for you, and you said, okay, I'll do this for you, then what would happen is we would slaughter an animal and we would put half the carcass on this side and we'd put half the carcass on this side, and then you and I would walk through that carcass together, shoulder to shoulder. And here's what we would be saying. If I break my end of the bargain, may my body be ripped apart like this carcass. And you're saying if you break your end of the deal towards me, may your body be broken just like, I mean, that's a pretty intense contract, right? Like, I've got a contract on a house right now, and they're doing a little bit of work that I've asked them to do, and if they don't do that right, you know what? I just void the contract, and I even get my deposit back, right? Like, contracts today are a lot different. And so Abraham prepares these carcasses, and it gets dark. And in the night, he has this vision of this smoking pot and torch, and he sees it pass through the carcasses alone. And you know what God's saying in that? He's saying, if I break my end of the bargain, of my promise, my commitment towards you, if I break my end, may my body be broken like that. And Abraham's like, oh, I forgot to walk through. Let me hurry, and it's almost as if God's saying, no, no. If you break your end of your commitment to me, may my body be broken as a result. And guess what? Many years later, Jesus went to the cross because you and I could never keep our end of the commitment to our God. And his blood was shed, and his body was broken, so that even though we fall short in our commitment to the Lord, we can be made right with the holy God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So that when Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, he who began a good work in you is going to make sure that that is carried on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. So we've got a God that never goes back on his commitment to us. That even when we fall short, he still works his will. It's still accomplished in our life. We're secured. We are secure in a committed Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've not committed your life to the Lord. Now, I'm not asking if you've prayed a prayer. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking if you've gone to VBS. I'm not asking if you're a church member. I'm not asking if you taught at school. I'm not asking if you're a deacon. I'm not asking if you're a staff member. What I am asking is, have you committed your life to the Lord? Because everything starts there. Jesus is going to say in John 6:44, he's going to say, you can't even come to me unless God first draws you. So listen, if you made a commitment because that was what it was expected of you, that's what you'd always heard, you believed in God like you believed in the tooth fairy, and you just knew that's what you were supposed to do. Absence of the drawing of God, there is no salvation. But listen, if you're searching for whether or not you've committed your life to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that you have not, can I tell you, you're in a beautiful place. Because when he reveals that and he draws and he desires to save, it's for the benefit of us to admit that we've sinned, believe that he died for us, and commit our life to following him. If you want to just talk to someone about that, have some first steps, listen, your staff will be here, I'll be here, Scott will be here, Sherry and Janae, they'll be up here in a second. We would love to talk with you about what that looks like, or maybe you just have questions, you want to know what you want to just take the step towards following Christ, you just want somebody to talk to you about that. That's what we're here for. And listen, maybe you're a believer here today. Christ has saved you, you have committed your life to the Lord, but somewhere along the way, you've fallen short, and you're walking in a season right now of sin. Can I tell you, you're in a beautiful place. Because we have a God that's not shaking his finger at you. He's not angry with you. He was angry at Jesus so that he wouldn't have to be angry at you. That's what the cross was about. Can I tell you if you're here, a believer walking in sin, and you know what the answer is? Repentance. That we turn from whatever distraction and we get serious about following Christ, being committed to Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're walking committed, and you just want to celebrate as we sing in a second, as we worship him. Maybe you've got questions about other things like membership or baptism, you know, we've talked about that, or maybe God's calling someone to ministry here today. I can distinctly remember just the impression that God was putting on me whenever he called me to ministry. Heath, I've done so much for you. I want you to give your life to follow me in vocational ministry. Maybe God's calling some here today to commit to that. Listen, whatever he's calling you to do, don't leave here today without talking to someone. When we commit our life to Christ and he commits his life to us, that's a good place to be. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that we'll hold our lives up to your word. That's how we'll validate whether or not we're committed to you. Not by what we've said, not by a prayer that we've prayed, but we will hold our lives up to your word to show whether or not we're committed to you. And God, if we're not, move us in that direction. And God, if we are, may we worship you. Praying for those in our lives who maybe not be committed yet. If there's someone here who hasn't given their life to you, I pray that you'll stir in them right now. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.